You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bache, host of The Entrepreneurs. Phil Cody is the founder of Cody & Co., a British shoe brand he launched last year. From Chelsea boots to suede loafers and premium leather trainers, the company manufactures everything in Sheffield here in England, using traditional methods and inspired by Phil's favorite Italian brands. A shoe industry veteran of over 25 years, the brand is not only a new venture for Phil and an avenue for creative expression, but also a chance for him to use his vast experience in breathing new life into British shoemaking. Here's Phil now with the story of Cody & Co.
I fell into footwear. I was having a brief attempt at being a professional golfer at the age of 19, which failed. And a friend of mine's father owned a chain of Clark's shops and suggested joining as a training manager. So that's what I did. And at the time, Clark's were very product focused. They had an amazing product training ethic within the company. It was all about the product. I think that's changed probably quite a lot now. So I developed a love of footwear and especially British made footwear. We sold a lot of the marker brands, Barker's, Lokes. They even stocked Bally back there. So they had a real bigger range of premium brands. So I did that for about 5 years, ran Clark's shops. And then my footwear career was underway, I guess. I had a brief break working for Gap, which was an interesting experience. And then started to work for private label footwear suppliers, so supplying high street retail, predominantly out the Far East, which is where I spent actually most of my career. And that's what's developed a bit of a hunger to make shoes in the UK, bring it home, make premium shoes. And I've stayed in footwear ever since. I had a 2-year spell working for Rockport in the UK, just shortly to them being bought out by Reebok. So that was a good premium brand experience. And then, about 2 years ago, started thinking seriously about starting our own brand, developing a product and putting our foot on the step and starting the journey. I think probably most people who work in the footwear industry have probably a dream to start their own brand. It's the ultimate goal to put all of your experience, all of the things you love in product, all of the brands you like, put it all together in your own style and put it out there, and hopefully people like it and you can build something. So starting point for us was there was an opportunity to manufacture in the UK. There haven't been many opportunities down the years to make in the UK. The Northampton heartland has been quite closed to new projects for a long time. Opportunity came up in Sheffield, which was a surprise because it's not a typical shoemaking town. And we started the process and we wanted to have a different take on UK shoes. We wanted to have more of a continental handwriting, a bit more flair, a bit less serious, a bit more stripped back, not quite as heavy. And just something I've always loved about Italian brands is that they're a lot more expressive in the way they use materials, the way they finish the product. It always looks like it's been passed over through lots of pairs of hands to get this great treatment. So this is what our objective was, to do this with a Sheffield factory. And that's been an interesting journey because they've not worked like that before. So going through that process with them in the UK, looking at more premium materials and having to demonstrate these finishes we want and show them with other brands, which we love. We love the way they've done this. Can you do it? And getting them to walk the walk with us has been a really interesting experience. Mm. Not easy all the way, but ultimately, really, really rewarding. I remember the time when the anti-dumping duties were being lifted from China. So we used to have quite restrictive, very high premium duties for importing Chinese product. As they started to lift them, the feeling in the UK was everyone's going to go to the Far East. And it was almost as though the shoe industry was abandoned. We jumped ship. The Italians, Portuguese, Spanish didn't. They resisted much harder, and as a result they've got a much bigger footwear industry now, which is really coming into its own. So as well as losing lots of factories, I think when Clark's were at their peak they were using 17 factories in the UK. They don't use any anymore, and that's happened in probably 25 years, which is really sad. But also it's not just the factories that go, the entire supply chain goes. So you want to start making shoes in the UK again, great, get a factory started. You've then got to buy all your componentry and you've got to have a skilled workforce. So yeah, a big challenge to come back. Still, we have to source a lot of the components from Europe. There's a lot of brands still sourcing components worldwide. And there's quite a lot of brands manufacturing products in India and then maybe sticking the soles on in the UK, and it's made in UK. And we didn't really agree with that. We thought, what's the point? Let's if you're going to make it overseas, then sell it at a lower price point and be transparent about it. So having to make the whole shoe in the UK, yeah, challenging, but you know, with lots of different expertise from the industry, it's possible. So we're getting there, and we made it for the first range. We started with some of the looks we wanted to recreate. So, as I said, I admire a lot of Italian brands, Office in Creative, brands like that, Marcel, where there's a real treatment of all the product. They just use the material, they kind of reinvent it almost, and they often make very deconstructed shoes, so it's very stripped back, very lightweight, so it feels quite glove-like, and they've just got a real flair. Everything they do has a real flair to it and a precision. So we wanted to try and emulate some of that using classic styles, so things people would recognise and could actually wear rather than being too out there. Like a lot of designer brands now, some of the product is highly aspirational, which is great and cool, but maybe there aren't that many people who actually want to wear it. So we wanted this to be accessible, but just made in a different way, made in a different way to the more serious belt and braces approach, I guess, of UK brands. So we wanted to be quite relaxed, use very premium leathers, we wanted to use leather soles, where we decided to introduce a sneaker product because we couldn't really ignore this trend because it's enormous still. And I think the sneaker on the type of unit we use will be a staple going forward. I don't think that's going to switch off, where some of these maybe crazy oversized trainers will go over the next few years. I think that's going to stay. So there we sourced a natural rubber sole unit to sort of sit with the rest of the story, so very soft, very premium material. So that was the starting point. So taking some fairly classic shapes and just reinventing them, making them a bit less serious and immediately wearable and comfortable. I guess the biggest thing we're doing is making shoes in the UK, close to home. We're not shipping shoes 6,000 miles. We've tried to source materials from the UK where possible. This does make the process much more expensive. You can always source cheaper, even in Europe. So British supply tends to be a real premium price. So trying to control our retail prices whilst doing that is challenging. Yeah, and the packaging, we took some advice from various packaging companies. We were going to go recycled, but the advice was actually recycled card wasn't really all it's cracked up to be because they use so much bleach in the production that FSC, sustainable forestry, would be a much better way to go. So, yeah, so our boxes are, and packing inside is all FSC certified. We're looking at the dust bags that normally come with premium product. My view was a lot of these maybe get thrown away. Not all, but a lot. So I thought, let's use an organic jute bag where maybe there's some reuse in it and somebody can actually get something out of it, so we haven't got lots of surplus packaging and it's all usable or recyclable. So yeah, we've started the journey. There's more we can do. There's some amazing products coming through, even some amazing non-leather products coming through. People are developing. I know Stella McCartney has been using a lot of these materials. Some really amazing fungi-based leather replica product, which when they are commercialised will be fantastic. And I think a lot of the sports brands are using, talking up the sort of plastic bottle recycled, which is great. It's quite hard to access for a small brand at this stage, but we're watching. And as soon as we can get more of that type of material into the product. One of the other concerns is statistic I heard recently was interesting, that was in the last couple of years, for the first time, the demand for meat products, of which leather is a byproduct, has caused the leather supply to be sort of undercooked. So because so many people are going to vegetarianism, veganism, we're not eating as much meat and there isn't as much leather, and obviously leather has to be a byproduct. So I think that could be something. I can only see vegetarianism, veganism growing. That could be a challenge across the sector in the future. So these alternative sustainable materials are critical. So hopefully the commercialisation of those will happen at a pace, because it's quite slow at the moment. I think it's quite costly. But yeah, we're watching that and we'll get into it as soon as we can. The initial idea to start online is so we could remove some of the overhead, so we could get product to the consumer at the best price possible. That's not going to be a cheap price because we're making in the UK. We're still going to be a premium price point. But if we start to go down the wholesale model, everybody in wholesale is going to want a 2.5 times markup. Our retail prices are going to spike by £100-150. We wanted to offer something different and try to talk about that in our story, that we are making a premium product, but actually a lot of what you're paying for is in the shoe. It's not in the supply chain. It's quite a dry message to get across to the consumer, but we're working on ways to use video of the factory and the process to communicate that. It does make it harder for a new brand because you don't get any passive marketing through being in a third-party store. So it's challenging, but I feel like that's a good route to go down. We may be open-minded to wholesale in the future. We're probably more inclined to think about pop-up shops ourselves and that type of approach, which I think is the way retail is going. And I feel that with the space and the empty units in high street and shopping centres, the pop-up opportunities are going to get more and more, and those spaces are going to get more and more interesting. And I think that would be a much more productive way for us to go down as we start to look at, you know, getting the stock in some bricks and mortar. We hope and plan to form a staple, the Chelsea boot especially. What we want to develop, we want to look at more treatments. We want to try and get some more of these treatments, which I love, from Italian continental product into the UK. So it's kind of walking the walk with the factory. So detailing, laser detailing on sneakers. A lot of the branding applications are amazing. And we want that to really help us support the online proposition to make the product really pop, because we have had some feedback that the product actually looks better firsthand than on the website, which is lovely to hear. Not that helpful if you're selling online, though, because you need people to actually buy it in the first place. So yeah, we're going to get more adventurous with the materials, be much clearer with our branding, and make our logo work a lot harder to really identify the product. We want Cody and Co product to be identifiable at a glance. So that's where we'll go. More sort of sumptuous feeling materials, natural tumbled leathers. We'll push more into sort of more dress product as we start to develop the formal range. We avoided doing a classic brogue first time round because we felt like it was maybe not a thing to do, but I think it's a staple. Again, we've had quite a lot of feedback from customers about why don't you do a brogue. So we are developing a more, what I would call a more fashion-leaning brogue than what you might expect to see in the UK. So that's the direction we're going in. It's really exciting to develop product. It's far and away my favourite part of the whole process, and I could easily spend every day fully on product development. That would be very easy to do. Talking to the consumers is really exciting. Yeah, it's a little nerve-wracking at first when you start to get some feedback that it's going to be positive, and it has been overwhelmingly very positive. Some real affection coming back for the product, for what we're doing, for how it looks and feels. And we've been managing that with a very small team, so we are having a really direct, quite intimate conversation with the customers, and that's really good to be able to do, because there's always a disconnect when you're selling B2B and you're managing somebody else's reputation and somebody else's brand. So to be able to actually develop a voice for ourselves direct to the customer, yeah, that's great. We're really looking forward to developing that over the next few years.
Phil Cody, the founder of British shoe brand Cody & Co. My thanks to Phil for coming in to share his story, and to Christy Evans, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.